When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Chucky, and I'm your friend to the end. Heidi fucking ho.
And welcome back to Chucky Queers. It's our weekly coverage of Don Mancini's sci-fi show. And I'm Joe.
And I'm Trace. And we are discussing season 3, episode 6, Panic Room, which the title, at least, I feel like has maybe a little bit more, it's more relevant to this episode than Death Becomes Her was last week.
Yes, I agree. There's definitely panic. There's definitely a room. There's a room where everybody panics. So I'm going to say it's a win.
I'm going to say it's a win, too. By the way, though, blowing through revelations in this episode, I could not have been happier. I thought the events of this, like the climax of this episode, I thought that was like season finale territory.
Yes. And it's interesting because I feel like for you, that was a pro. For me, I was like, ooh, we're rushing things a little bit quickly. Like, I'm not unhappy with where we get to, but also It felt like we were burning through plot. And I just thought to myself, we don't want to save this for the finale. Okay.
Well, I can only assume that means we're going to get like even more batshit in these last two episodes, given the cliffhanger we have. Although I do have one gripe, but I find this because it was so funny when I was watching this. I was like, oh, yeah, we're blowing through plot. And I bet you Joe's not going to like that, which is funny because so many of his complaints about the episodes are normally, well, not really a lot happens. Like, where's it going to go? And then we get that in this episode and you still don't like it.
Yes, I'm a contrarian. I cannot be appeased. No, it's an interesting episode. I feel like, you know, we're going to approach it the way we normally do, where we kind of break it down storyline or character by character. To me, this was a little too heavy on the First Lady Charlotte and Price stuff. It felt a little bit repetitive. And I think that's why the finale part felt a little bit rushed, because I wanted to spend a bit more time with Chucky setting this grand plan in motion. And instead, it almost felt like he was a secondary or tertiary character.
So I'll just start at the very beginning. My only big gripe, and it was right when the episode started, I was like, oh, we don't get to see the First Lady discover her husband's corpse. And
no,
that felt like a missed opportunity, at least for even for Laura Jean Charesteki to like really like, I mean, she's good in this episode, but like missing that moment, I thought kind of robbed her of something that could have been really special.
Yeah, she gets too underplayed in a bunch of other scenes. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I thought the dinner scene where all the kids are trying to make gentle conversation and she's just downing wine and completely not there. Like, this is good stuff. But yeah, I mean, we know what she can deliver, and it would have been nice to have given her a big, like, holy fuck, my husband is dead. What am I gonna do now moment?
I am really glad that we don't kill her in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I really hope she makes it out of this season alive, but I feel like we're just going to have at least one more orphan on our hands.
Oh, God. They're just going to be driving around in a van like a bunch of orphans at the end of the show.
Honestly, okay, I'm sure they've explained this, but how are they just like running that dead teacher's credit card at this hotel? Like, is that all they're doing?
They have not explained it. I don't think we will, because it's Chucky and we just roll with the punches. But yeah, I was also like, no one has checked in on these minors who are just living in a hotel.
Right? Like, shouldn't there be a welfare check from like Child Protective Services to be like, hey, teacher lady who adopted these foster kids, because that's what we do now. Again, not really an issue for me. I'm just kind of like, is no one checking on these kids?
You know what? It's an out-of-state problem. It's the states are not speaking to each other, because remember, they did a road trip to get to DC.
Yeah, they did. And I don't really know how the law works in that respect. No. So, you know what? Sure. Loophole it.
Yes, absolutely. But okay, well, why don't we stick with the kids since their storyline is a little bit small as well? Like, this is really a First Lady and Price episode. But I will say I really, really enjoyed Lexi focusing on the words consummating your relationship.
Okay, the second time she said that, though, I was like, girl, use a thesaurus, like find another word.
No, it's amazing. It's a running joke.
I thought it was so, I didn't like that.
Oh, I thought it was hilarious.
Not an actual critique. I just like the second time it felt like that, like, you know, when you're writing a film review and you're trying to describe something and you use like the same turn of phrase. Yeah. That's what this felt like to me. I didn't get the running gag out of it.
Okay. Interesting. I wonder if she had done it a third time, if you would have just died or been like, you know what? Now I get it. I get
that. I think I would have gotten it there, but just twice didn't work for me.
I see. Okay. The rule of threes in comedy is back on the table.
Uh-huh. Rule of twos doesn't exist, or it just, it's a failure.
Not a thing. Not a thing.
Yeah, no, this was good. You know, we get, yes, some, yeah, light joking about their fucking, which is fine. Mm-hmm. I do like that she at least calls them out when they're like, hey, we're good. And she's like, I still have a missing sister, you assholes.
I'm glad that she's saying it because it feels like the rest of the show is not saying it. So presumably that is also where these last two episodes of the season are going to go. But yeah, it was nice to get the repeated affirmation. Oh, right. Carolyn is still a character in this world.
Yes. So, of course, they make their way back into the White House. We get this dinner scene that you've already alluded to. And I'm not going to lie, Lexi just going, fuck it. Chucky's an evil doll. You're all in danger. I was like, yes. You know what? Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah, I also like that, especially because we had to do another scene with her apologizing to Grant for using him to get into the White House. And I like that we just put a fucking pin in that. And then we immediately shift to, yep, let's put our cards on the table. Here's what we're dealing with. And he's in, you know, it takes him a hot second. He has to see a dead body. And then he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to follow you folks.
Which I'm like, you've seen plenty of dead bodies in the past, like, month.
Truly. Yeah. Yeah. We've also skipped over the romantic part of the episode, Trace. What did you think of our musical interlude when we sing Don't Fear the Reaper?
It reminded me of the fact that Lexi thinks she's really cool by really liking Blue Oyster Cult, but only Don't Fear the Reaper. And so this was stupid, but I didn't mind it because I think that she and this Grant character have chemistry. I'm not invested in it because there's so many other things going on.
It feels like we're putting a pause in the forward momentum every time we give them this emotional moment. And I think it's partially just because we don't have that same investment, as you said, with Jake and Devin, because we spent three seasons building up their romance. Whereas with Grant, it's kind of like, are we just going to kill this kid next episode? We never know.
I mean, honestly, I feel like, and again, I'm just totally spitballing here, but I feel like we're going to have Henry, maybe I said this last week, but I think we're going to have Henry team up with Caroline and Grant team up with the elder kids, and it's going to be like a war between the two generations.
I could see it. We haven't made any progress on that front, but also it's because Caroline is still just somebody that we mention offhandedly.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even check in with Jennifer Tilly in this episode. We have not seen Nika...
No.
All season? Like, have we... I can't...
Yeah, I don't think so.
Maybe she was in the first episode. Oh, God. Sorry, y'all. It's been a while.
It's been long enough that we don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, well, so why don't we then rewind, because we're about to get to the climax. So then, honestly, it's just the First Lady and Price and Devon Sawa's return.
I did like that. It was unexpected, you know, body double Jenkins and, you know, him trying to make a meal of this performance and the First Lady just walking out on him was funny.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is all good. Again, I thought for sure we were going to kill this guy off immediately. Mm-hmm. So I like that Don Mancini's like, no, yeah, we need to keep Devon Sawa around more until we kill him again. And then we just bring him back as a new character next season.
Right. Yes. You know what? Devon Sawa needs that paycheck. How else is he going to make the cover of Fangoria if he doesn't get this plum triple, quadruple, quintuplet part on the show?
I'm telling you, it must be. There has to be like a Guinness Book of World Records for like the number of times a person has like appeared as a different character on a single TV show. Mm-hmm. We're really hitting that.
Yeah, I'm going to still give it to Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black. But yeah, Devon Sawa's coming in. He's coming in. Yeah,
you know what? That is true. That is true. So Tatiana Maslany, Devon Sawa.
You know what? The goats of the sci-fi world.
I think this stuff with Charlotte, the First Lady, and Price is fine. I'm ready for Price to die.
He was really annoying in this episode. And I get it that we're doing sort of like funny political jargon speak where he's saying, this is how we're going to keep everybody safe by just staying the course. Nobody's going to do anything. But it just felt like that was what the episode was about. And I felt like it got a little old after about the second time we had the same conversation.
And that's why I think opening with them discovering the body, removing one of those scenes of them fighting again, I think that would have maybe helped this episode a little bit more. I still actually prefer this episode to last week only because of all the that forward momentum.
Okay.
But the scenes with Charlotte and Price aren't the best, I do think Troi Sekhi is doing really good. I mean, again, the moment she was like, I need a cigarette, I was like, you go. Smoke that cigarette.
Smoke. and she and Bellows have good chemistry. Like, it's why we remark that we think that there's going to be a romantic angle. I do think this episode puts it off the table.
Yeah.
Unless we do some kind of time jump forward into the future. But at this point, their relationship is so antagonistic. I can't imagine that she is ever going to forgive him.
No. That was it.
That's it. That's what this episode gives us.
So, okay, then before we get to the climax, I mean, I guess there's not really a ton going on with Chucky in this episode until the very end. But he's just, brainwashing and tricking little Henry the entire time.
Yeah. Yeah, poor kid. So much therapy in this child's future.
Oh, 100%. But yeah, so this all leads us to the big climax where Chucky almost starts World War III. He definitely helps global warming a little bit, though.
Yes, we do destroy the North Pole. Also, I don't think you can detonate a nuke and just say it's like an activity, like a trial run or something. I was just like, coming from the United States in 2024, I think that's still a declaration of war somewhere. Like,
my bad, y'all. So sorry.
But fell on the button. I was asleep, I swear.
I mean, come on, you knew Chucky was going to hit that button. Like, as soon as he went down, I was like, push him away.
Grab those little doll legs and pull them back to the end of the table. I did love that we did this in slow motion, that Jenkins gets a shot off, that security guard, who I'm sure has a name, or
Secret Service agent.
I'm sure he has a name, also gets a shot off. Yeah, you know, this is exactly what I would come to expect from Chucky. And I think that it was like fun, frenetic, wild. And then, it's just like, I love that we get these stock footage images of like a polar bear and then an explosion.
Love that so sci-fi silly budget. We had some good kills. I mean, I love the pin in the eye. I thought that was really good. More gunshots. But again, we at least get Chucky narrating how he feels about gunshots.
Yes. A good amount of meta commentary from Chucky between that, as well as eyeing up the kids and saying, I do love a sequel to us, the camera and the audience.
Yeah. I mean, again, we had Ghost introduced last week. At this point, nothing is off the table with this franchise. But honestly, everyone is in the know now because First Lady and Price definitely saw this evil doll.
yes. But it's a bit of a reset, right? I mean, not only do we literally hit a button, but we end by killing Chucky definitively. So the doll is dead. But then Trace, what is this final image?
Oh my God. Brad Dourif in the flesh arrives as a ghost. I do like that they flash Chucky's face in front of him just for people that don't know what Brad Dourif looks like. But yeah, and so I'm actually really curious though, because Ghosts were introduced this season, is it specifically a White House thing where it's like, okay, because of the history of this place, there's ghosts everywhere? Or is this going to be like a regular fixation in this world moving forward, you know?
Yeah, because last week we speculated that it had something to do with Damballa or Chucky's sickness, and that it was kind of like, you know, stuck in a little geographical circle around him. But then he dies and we've still got his ghost hanging around. So I'm hoping we're going to get even just a bit of a small answer, because Chucky doesn't need to explain itself. I think part of the fun is not understanding half of how anything happens. But also, I do need a little bit of an explanation about how this works.
Yeah, just loose rules. I don't need like concrete rules. I just need a loose, like, this is how it works kind of sometimes.
Yeah, even if it's like a scene or two of him being like, how does this work? Can I put my hand through a wall? Like, can I go and re-inhabit my body or anything?
That actually may be what happens, though. It may, because he didn't expect this to come out of his death.
Yeah. Question for you. I'm putting you on the spot. Is this the first time we have seen Brad Dourif as a human being since the original opening of Child's Play?
No, but no. We've seen him in flashbacks in Curse of Chucky because okay. when we had, but that's it. Like, it's never been like anything else, I don't think, because that body's, you know, been
right.
Well, I guess we saw a skeleton in Bride of Chucky,
right? But not played by Brad Dourif.
No, no, no. But yeah, it was just those flashbacks in Curse of Chucky to how Nika got her disability in the womb.
Okay. Okay. Interesting. Because again, you know, this is one of those legacy. Obviously, Brad Dourif has been playing the role the whole time because he's been doing the vocal performance. But what a feeling to be an actor and get to come back and physically play the same character after all of this time.
That's the thing, because, you know, I remember when we covered Bride of Chucky in the main feed, I was watching like the extra features and like he doesn't spend that much time in the audio booth, really. It's like maybe mm-hmm. a couple days, if even that. And so
right.
it's interesting that he's made such an impact on this franchise as this character of Chucky when he's not really involved with the production that much.
Mm-hmm. Once again, let's petition the Academy to recognize voice vocal performances, because
agreed.
Where is this franchise if not for folks like Jennifer Tilly, Don Mancini, and Brad Dourif?
I mean, I don't, even if they create a best vocal performance, I don't think they're going to be nominating Chucky anytime soon, but a boy can dream.
Yes. If nothing else, it's something that we would be like, he should get a nomination for this.
Okay. So before we sign off, predictions for next week, Joe.
I think we're going to do a little bit of pretend. Everybody's going to act like everything is fine now. So I think we'll focus a little bit of attention on Carolyn, but I think, you know, we're going to get happy times between Devin and Jake and maybe Grant and Lexi. And I don't know, maybe a time jump.
I don't think so. I think we're going to get Tilly back. I think we're going to have a return of Jennifer Tilly after a week right. off. But I do think it's going to be a slower episode as you said, this is a reset of sorts. It's a new status quo. So mm-hmm. I think it's going to be people again thinking everything's fine while mm-hmm. Charles Lee Ray tries to figure out what's going on. And then it's right. probably going to end a big cliffhanger that's going to tie into the big action-packed finale.
Right. I am afraid, as you hinted at earlier, for First Lady Devin. Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
Also Devin. I do think we're probably going to kill Devin of any of the kids.
Yeah, because I feel like we can't kill Grant because it's like Lexi needs a win or something, or I don't know. But again, as I said last week, we're really hammering in the whole like Devin being like, it's okay, I got you, we're gonna be good. And I was like, you're saying too many of these things. Like, yeah. I think we're gonna kill you.
We've all watched enough movies to know that when characters say that means they're about to die.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I would prepare myself for maybe a slower pace episode next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
I don't know, but until then, I mean, shit, we can cross out Panic Room.
Indeed, and cross out Chucky Queers.